Welcome back, friends. Yes, globalization, not in that negative moment that Micah was thinking about. Yes, we're all of the same, right? And our governance is from
Russell. One word order or something. Yeah,
that's correct. No. Global, in terms of our basic humanity and our basic relationship, in our basic, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's been going on 2,000 years. Let's be honest. And I think we still have some work to do in that.
Yeah.
Right? Praise God's will, right? God's will. We want it. I think. And so that was part of this unification of prayer of across all kinds of lines, is that our Lord's will, his reign, would commence more fully than we have seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I have also heard that, I don't know if you've encountered this, that God permits, well, it's from scripture, God permits suffering to draw greater good from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all things work to good to the Lord, to those that love the Lord.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
And that's true. And then if we've all had sufferings in our life, we know that that is true. And yet I want to ask this hard question. We've had more martyrs in the 20th century than we've had the prior ones all combined.
Mm.
We're 100 plus million murdered under the commies, the communist rule. And I want to ask, haven't we had enough seed sunk?
Hmm.
That's just me. Hasn't there been enough bloodshed? For a Catholic, they would want to phrase it, isn't it time for the Immaculate Heart of Mary to triumph?
Hmm.
For a Protestant, they might phrase it, isn't it time for the great harvest?
Yeah.
Have not enough missionaries been sent out? And it's true, China's a locked, that is an area that is crying, and we
right. pray. Right. But even still, yeah, the amount of church, like under the activity of the underground church in China is unprecedented in the world, you know?
That's
like there's
correct.
So many Christians over there.
That is right. Yes. So I'm with you, I don't know if you, when you're phrasing our Lord coming back, maybe you're thinking of in the final eschaton, but perhaps could we not have that prior moment of a reprieve before the great battle with the Antichrist? That's
right.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's such a big idea, you know, because it's so beyond our kind of small little communities and little states and countries and everything, that it's this, I mean, there's really this battle between good and evil that in my mind is so already been won because of what Christ has done. And now we as believers are being invited into this battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness, you know, and realizing that we do have you know, actual ownership and authority in this fight against the darkness rather than our neighbors and rather than those we disagree with and rather than, you know, because I hear people talk about civil war and stuff and things like that here in America, and it's so heartbreaking to me that that's even an option that folks consider, you know. And it's so hard for me to imagine in America where the government is so overbearing and corrupt that it's, you know, something where we have to fight against it with actual, like, violence. And I'm pretty far in the camp of anti-violence, too, where I would rather die than kill, you know, because I have no fear of death and I'm free. And so it's like I don't think that I can convince someone with arguing and violence to change their heart, you know? And I don't know. It's just a crazy thing for me to think about with thinking about how bad it could get, you know, and not just in America, but the world at large, and what that looks like and what we are called to as believers to rise above that.
That is right. And I've heard the same discussions myself. And it goes back to when we were a few episodes ago, what are the people's options? If they have needs and they're not getting met, you can ignore it for a time. But as I mentioned, it doesn't go on forever. And the genius of the Constitutional Republic, of which we had, was that we could solve these problems in a peaceful way by voting. But when the vote is not fair or accurate to the desires of the people, then, you know, you get left of, okay, what's going on in the other countries? And you get that, oh, well, what did the people do? Well, they put it up with it for such a time. And then at some point, they run out of time. Mm-hmm. But the Christian, those who have a different viewpoint, and now we're here in Ephesians. And this, I propose, so now we're in this idea of hope, where we really don't have, whether the military chooses to avail themselves or not, whether the so-called the election gets overturned or not, is now somewhat out. Yes, we pray for leaders. I'm not saying that we don't do that. But what can we practically do? And I say, we can recognize this time as one of developing our relationship with the Lord, developing our ability to walk in His ways and to think with His mind, so that come what may, we have His peace that surpasses all understanding. Like Micah has said on countless times, so that you can look and he has sorrow. He has sorrow and he's sad. It's not like you're a robot, but it's not. Yeah. But you haven't lost the peace that surpasses all understanding.
There's still a freedom in the suffering and the sorrow when your hope is in the eternal.
That is correct. So I think we have enough time. We're going to set up the Ephesians run, and then we're going to really enjoy that. So now here comes the positive, finally. The full armor of God. So I'm using the ESV version out of deference to Micah. And, you know, it turned out to be the study when I was studying Paul, the Pauline corpus. All we used was Protestant commentaries, which was great. Love it. All right, Paul. So who's the author? So let's just do some basic housekeeping. Paul is the author. Of course, some dispute it. How else will they write their PhDs and get their doctorates and teach places? They've got to have a bone to chew on. I take verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle to the Gentiles, and he goes on. Okay, so I take that as face value that he wrote it. My opinion, you all can have your own opinion, that he was probably writing it from prison in Rome around 63, something like that. Now, he would have employed an amanuensis. Amanuensis, what is that? It'd be like a literary assistant. And so some people say, well, I still call Paul is the author.
Okay. Right.
And it was probably a circular letter. So that's where people will say, well, he was not the author because he didn't have the usual flowery opening. I said, well, I think it could have been a circular letter. So what's a circular letter? So he's writing it to Ephesus in a way, but he has perhaps in his mind that it's going to make the rounds.
Right, the rounds. It's for the whole church.
City of Ephesus. is a very important city in modern day Turkey. It's important because it's on major trade routes. It has access to the Aegean Sea by way of the Kaistor River. Another evidence of its importance is it will have a Roman temple to the goddess Diana or Artemis. Right? They're part of the club, you know, part of the club. And so Ephesus, because of its good location, perhaps also because of the hospitality of the church there, Paul will have that be a 3-year nexus of evangelization from there. And the theological theme, it was a more mature community, so Paul's not having to deal with some of the issues that come from a younger community, leadership problems, how to conduct worship right in Corinthians, you know, they were having trouble. Yes. Yeah. How to have good worship manners. So that wasn't that. So because it's a more mature audience, Paul's able to develop theological themes with with greater depth, which is a gem, which makes Ephesians just a little gem of a book to read. Mm-hmm. Revelations is going to have a note of concern. John writes Revelations. They have persevered. So this is the perspective of our Lord towards Ephesians and Revelations. The Ephesians persevered in following the Lord. They have good deeds. They discerned who the false apostles were and the good apostles. So that speaks to their maturity. But there is going to be an admonition. They have lost their first love. So you would look at this external business, you know, they have good deeds. They kept the false prophets out. They've persevered in hardship and persecuted, but the Lord calls them to task. They have to have interiority of their first love. Okay. So that is kind of Ephesians and the groundwork for putting on the whole armor of God.
Yeah. I love it. And I love that. Remember your first love, because I think that's so true for so many Christians today, forgetting, you know, our first allegiance is to Christ. You know, as much as we may love any political candidate or anything, our first allegiance is to Christ and the kingdom. And don't forget your first love, you know, and what's our command but to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and then love our neighbors. I just love the simplicity of it.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right, my friends, we'll pick up in the next episode. Till then, fides ad ratio.